Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand, the insightful copywriter and founder of The Love Method. My mission is to help you stop doubting yourself so you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Namaste and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand and delighted to be talking to you today from my home studio, of course, with a guest who is joining me who's going to be talking to us about launches. So if you're a business owner and you are involved in trying to sell products and services, you definitely want to stick around for this one because we've got an expert on the topic. Her name is Krista Ripma, and hopefully I'm pronouncing your last name correctly. She's a marketing coach, launch strategist, and co-founder of Authentic Audience, which is a full-service digital marketing and ad agency dedicated to serving brands who foster the best in self-care, self-love, and self-expression. And that's one thing I'm going to ask you about because I'm intrigued by that combination, actually. Authentic Audience is a natural progression of Krista's previous successes in building million-plus Instagram followings, tripling online awareness and engagement for her brands, and coaching hundreds of seasoned and novice business owners to find and speak their truth, which is right in alignment with this podcast because I'm all about engaging authentically. So this is perfect. And she's also been featured in Entrepreneur Magazine and Forbes, and she's also a podcast host. And for those of you watching on YouTube, you can tell because she's got a serious microphone in the frame. So she's the host of the Authentic Audience podcast. So welcome, Krista, to Live, Love, Engage.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, and I am looking forward to, as I said, get to know you a little bit. So first off, though, I want to know, actually, I always like to find out, is how do people get started? So how did you get started being a marketing coach and launch strategist?
Yeah, it's a big question, but I would say that I got started. To me, marketing is like good storytelling. I like telling stories and connecting with people visually. So when I first graduated from college, I wanted to be a movie producer. So I moved to Hollywood and worked on TV shows and movies and got into development of reading scripts and things like that. Mm-hmm. And since that, I've jumped from there to working with celebrities, to working in PR, to working on brands. And it's just been this really organically evolving journey that I've been on for, I don't know, the last decade or more. And we landed with Authentic Audience about 3 years ago, almost more than that now, with my husband. He's my business partner. And at the time, I was just building people's websites, helping them with their social media, anything to connect with their audience. So any external facing thing that helps you build your relationship with your clients and customers, that's what I was doing. And he saw something in what I was doing and just said, I think we can really do this and you can stay on creative and I'll help with operations. And and that was 3 years ago. So yeah, now we have this ever-evolving, as most businesses are and entrepreneurs. Yes. So we do just a lot of digital marketing, all things digital marketing. I host courses and do strategy sessions. I build strategies for people. I build lots of things for people. And it's just really fun. I love my clients. I love what I do. I love sales. I love marketing.
That's very cool. So I was intrigued by the way that you said you serve brands who foster the best in self-care, self-love, and self-expression. And so I have an idea maybe, but it may be totally off a wall about what types of companies those are. So who do you work with?
So we started out very niche. I have been big into the yoga industry and community. So I started out working for a big yoga teacher and helped her build her brand early on. And from there, was doing that for yoga studios and teachers, retreat centers, teacher trainings. Mm-hmm. So it started with this idea of the more butts on mat, the better the world. That's how I feel. And so that was like my driving mission. But then I quickly realized that you can be a purpose-driven business owner in any industry. It's mm-hmm. about how you present yourself to the world. It's about how you deliver your message, how transparent you are with your customers. The more you learn about business, the more you realize that there's just these big decisions that have to go in to running a business every day, and you can take the easy way out or not. And so those are the people that I'm looking to connect with. So I'm not really tied down to any particular industry. Our clients are a lot of people that want to launch online courses or programs digitally mm-hmm. for their first time, or bring their services online. That's a big thing that's happening in COVID. Right. Everyone wants to come online, which is great because I just think it's such a beautiful way to connect mm-hmm. And stay in touch and do business. So yeah, we've definitely expanded, but for me, there needs to be an intention, a need to want to do honest business, present themselves authentically with integrity. And it's more about the person and their why more than anything else now. But we do lots of healers, artists, musicians, of course. Okay.
So that was what I suspected, but it was good to hear you say that. And you're right. I think that there are lots of people who are in a variety of industries who are still coming at it from a heart centered place, that they're oh, yeah. really coming out of it from service. They're not just in it for the money. I would rather work with those people who are in it because they want to help people. They want to be of service. So that's awesome. I like that. So let's talk a little bit about, because you mentioned that you've got clients who are wanting to run courses. And of course, that is for anyone who has been in the digital marketing space for any length of time, there are things that are called launches, and that people are, you know, trying to get their, they put a product out there or something, or a course or something, and they, with the intention of getting it seen and bought by as many people as they can. So what, and having done this a little bit myself, but it's still not to the some scale. There's so much we can get into here, because I think a lot of people sometimes have grandiose ideas, I think, sometimes of how successful it can be, because there are lots of people who seem to make millions of dollars on launches. What do you define as a successful launch? Let's start there.
Yes, that's a good question. So, and just to touch on what you just said for a moment, yes, we see a lot of these really successful launches out there, but what we're not seeing are like the hundreds of thousands of launches that, you know, didn't come to light for whatever reason, and all of the ideas or anticipated launches or, you know, so many things. Right. So, I think that sometimes we think, oh, our first launch is going to be a six-figure launch, because you hear that all the time, six-figure launch, six-figure yep. launch. Well, for me, a successful launch is one happy client. I think that we need to always, like, if we go back to the beginning or the basics of this, I always say, when anybody's trying to bring something new into the world, get one happy customer. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to start a business. Just making sure this one person is totally taken care of, has incredible success. Now, obviously we want more than one person. Right. So, what I would say is you need to set really clear goals for yourself. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, I know I'm talking to the right audience, but like manifesting is real. And so the more we can get really specific, and I want you to pick a number that you can hit out of the park. So something mm-hmm. that, you know, just looking at your numbers, okay, I have 200 people on my email list. My engagement, my open rate is 30%. So how many people am I really reaching? What is the, like if we're trying to make a six-figure launch and we don't have an email list yet, or, you know, we're like, right. It's just, there's a disconnect there. So we need to look at the numbers first and see what's really possible. And it's like what we could do. And, that's the first step. So setting a realistic goal that you can hit and that you can reach and create a strategy. That's what I do. We look at the goals, we create them together, and then I build you a strategy to get there and hitting your goals. So a successful launch is laying out realistic goals and hitting them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's go to the other side of it first. Then what would you define as a failed launch then? I mean, obviously, I guess no customers, but is there more to it than that?
Yeah, I think no customers, definitely. But I've seen launches that make $100,000 to $200,000. And by the end of the launch, the person is like destroyed, burnt out, so stressed, like sick almost, physically and emotionally, and drained. And that's not a successful launch either. So I think it has to be successful in the sense that you, yes, are making your, you know, ROI is going up. People, you're reaching people, you're engaging people, they like whatever it is that you created. People are having a good experience, but that you're sane through the process. I've known launch strategists who are like doing launches from their hospital bed, like giving birth. I mean, just like crazy stories, you know, and it's like, whoa, you know, as much and as important as your product or service is meant to come into the world, equally as important is sleep and rest and self-care and being able to do it again and create like a sustainable process for yourself. So I would say mental health. I've seen launches take a big toll on people because we just get so caught up and that goes to mindset as well. So when a launch isn't successful, I can tell right off the bat if the mindset is off. So if we're coming from a place of fear, of scarcity, urgency, self-doubt in the product or service, this idea of like, who am I to sell this, or no one's going to buy this from me, and all of those thoughts that definitely come up, we're human, but that plays a huge role. I've seen launches like with great strategies, everything else, and just horrible, horrible mindsets around it, in it for the wrong reasons, like trying to make $1 million, but not willing to do a sales call, things like that, being too removed from it. So that's a key thing is mindset. B is like, you need to be involved in your launch. Be willing to take sales calls, personally writing your emails, responding to DMs, personal outreach, that kind of stuff. And when people want to just remove themselves and make this passive, you know, there needs to be intention and energetic involvement. And then the third thing, when nobody signs up, we really just need to look at the drawing board. That's never happened. Like to me, if I can usually tell before a launch, if like we've got to, you know, take another stab at things. But if that were to happen, the first thing that I would ask you to do is just find out where the break in the flow is. So, you know, anytime we purchase anything, we have awareness, consideration, purchase. So we want to find out, that's our buyer's journey. So where's the break in the flow? Okay, our emails got great open rates, tons of people clicked, they got to the sales page, no one bought. Okay, we got a problem with the sales page. So the other thing that I would suggest to people is beta testing and making sure you like crawl, walk, run so that you can figure out any kinks or breaks in the flow before you scale. Because by the time you scale it, you're pretty much guaranteed, you know, based on your numbers and success and response, if it's going to be successful or not.
Is there a typical launch strategy, or is it, or can it be, you know, have like lots of different flavors, I guess?
There's a lot of different launch strategies out there, but we use a very specific method with our launches, and it can be like as small as a skinny launch, which is just like a couple of emails, like a couple of Facebook ads, like not a lot of spend. So like I call it a skinny launch if it's on like a small budget, to like really big launches where you're warming up your audience for like 3 to 6 months, spending money, collecting new leads, all of this kind of thing. So, But what we like to do and what I recommend doing is a nurture process of some sort. So you always want to start out with something free and valuable that your customer that is interested in buying the buying whatever it is we're going to sell them eventually would also love this free thing and find value in it. So you want to start by serving that to warm and cold audiences and then find a way to get them into your community, into your network so you can nurture them for, I like to say, as long as possible, but ideally a month minimum. Where you're sending them emails, videos, value, whatever it is, more information, positioning yourself as the expert, earning that trust and loyalty. And then from that little warm up, I like to do webinar. So we push people towards a live webinar, a live workshop of some kind where you end the workshop by announcing the launch. So the people on the workshop get first opportunity. Usually you give them a little extra bonus, something for joining right away. And then I go, I love open cart launches, so 1 to 2 weeks. It creates urgency and scarcity, marketing's favorite two words. And then you close the cart and that's the end. And hopefully you've hit your goals. So that's our basic launch. We do warm up to webinar to launch. And then throughout that, of course, there's a social media strategy, a paid strategy, and a email strategy. And just a mindset strategy of being engaged and excited and proud during your launch.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's it does seem like there's lots of different ways to do it, but I do know the webinar strategy is definitely a good one. And I was offering a workshop a few years ago, and I was so excited when I actually got the sale from, because I only had a few people even show up to the webinar, number one, and to be able to, you know, I actually got someone to buy, I was like, yay.
So that's huge. That's huge. And I think the idea of driving people to a webinar is you're not driving them to a sales page, you're driving them to more value. Yeah. And if you believe in your service or product like you did, you only needed a few people to show up and you were able to make a sale. So imagine scaling that knowing, okay, this is a great product. I know my webinar is great. So imagine if I could get 10 times the amount of people on the webinar. Right. That's easier to do from a marketing standpoint than get that amount of people to a sales page.
Yeah.
So if you can get them to your webinar, then you have the opportunity to make the sale. And usually if it's a product or service that you've created and you're passionate about, who better from people to learn from than like you live? They can feel your energy, your excitement, you know, your skill set, whatever it takes. So it's a great way to just connect. And I've had people join webinars like for 2 years, every webinar before they purchase from me. So it's a great way to hold space too for people and like keep that connection going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And email, I mean, because when I work with small business owners, I always talk about the importance of doing an email nurturing, you know, doing some sort of regular newsletter or something, something that you're providing stuff. Because yeah, I had a client who I was offering to do like a VIP day with her and she wasn't ready. And she called me like a year later and she said, Gloria, I'm finally ready now. So, you know, but if I hadn't stayed in touch with her all of that time, she might have just gone to somebody else to get the help she needed. So it's so important to stay in touch with people. Which leads me to, you know, we've kind of talked about what to do, but what is what are maybe either the top mistake or maybe a couple key mistakes that you see entrepreneurs making when they want to do a launch?
Yes. So the biggest mistake is taking somebody straight from awareness to purchase. So not warming up your audience at all, not telling them anything's coming, and then just immediately like maybe they know who you are, maybe they just found out about you, and then you take them either from an ad or a post straight to sale, asking for the buy right away. I think that that's a really big mistake. And I see people get really disappointed when that happens. And it's like, well, you didn't get, I think I like to think of marketing or that consideration phase, like dating, like you need to know them, that you just ask them to move in with you on the first date. That's never going to go well. So that's a huge mistake. The other mistake I see people making is they'll only post about something one time, so, and get discouraged if they don't see any sales, or they'll think if I post about something too much, I'm going to bother somebody. So that's a huge mistake and misconception. First of all, just with the algorithms alone, if you're using your organic strategy on social media and you post or share, you're going to reach like 5 to 10% of your audience on a good day, which means 90% of them doesn't even know you just launched this thing. And other, you know, there's a million reasons why people are going to miss it. So that's really important to hold space, share, post a lot. The more serious you take your business and your offer, the more serious your audience and people are going to take it. Also that along with that, they say, oh, well, everyone that's following me is like my friends and family. I'm like, great. Your aunt is out to lunch with your dream client right now. And you need to stay top of mind. So posting frequently and really being excited to post is a big deal. And a lot of times they're like, oh, I launched and I made 3 sales. I'm like, well, how many times did you post about it? Well, how many times did you share? Who did you personally reach out to? And so, it's actually statistically that somebody has to see something 7 times before they decide to make a purchase. So, you're just missing out, I think, when you don't post about it and share about it as much as you can. The third thing that I would say is not getting specific enough in their product, so, or in their service. So people, you're not going to please everyone. And actually, the more niche and specific you can get with who you're talking to and what pain point you're solving, the better it will do. People try and jam pack so much into one course or one offer when really it should be 3 offers or 3 courses. And when you get too vague, you're not serving anyone. So making sure you're very, very specific, and that's important.
Yeah. You said something that I just wanted to point out, because I just thought it was a really important point that I think some people, and frankly, I've been guilty of this in the past myself, is that you really need to be serious about your business.
That's the first, that's the first step, is when you decide to turn something into a business, because I work with a lot of people who have turned their passions or hobbies, especially with COVID, bringing it into like an online digital business. And that's great. And I think that that's the best way to do business, is by purpose driven. Mm-hmm. However, you have a business responsibility now, and that's to sell. And that's to make money for your business. So if you're not making sales, you don't really have a business, right? So we need to shift our mindset a little bit more into this excitement around selling and creating profitable businesses and serving people, delivering them value, authentic connections. You know, that's a nice dance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've had one of my coaches told me in the past, and others too, but at a workshop, she was saying that if you don't make the offer, you're actually doing your prospective client a disservice, because you've got something that could help them. So why would you deprive them of that opportunity to be able to work with you and to be able to get the solution that you're offering, because it's something that they need? So if we can keep that in mind, then selling in theory should be easier. Right?
Yes. I say that all the time. If you were sitting across from your dream client, the person that you know your product or service is going to transform, enhance, benefit their life, and you don't make the sale, you've just failed them, because they're missing out on the transformation. They're missing out on the thing. And if it's your dream client that you literally blood, sweat, and tears created this thing for, and they're not seeing it, like that's such a bummer.
Absolutely. So you talked about that. I guess that COVID has brought out some people are turning their, you know, passions into business. So that leads me to why I was curious to ask, is how has this crazy year that we've been going through, we're recording this in September right now, how has it affected you, maybe personally as well as professionally?
Wow. Personally, it's been transformational. I mean, how deep do we want to go here? It's been big. There's been a pause. There's been slowing down. There's been a lot of self-reflection and places where I was thinking I was in alignment, but maybe when I got really quiet, I wasn't. Before COVID, we traveled all the time, visiting clients, going to events, speaking, whatever, always traveling.
Yeah.
And being home has just had a profound impact, I think, on who I am. Mm. And I think people have seen a real difference. I'm just go. And it's just been this grounded, I'm like taking baths. I never took baths before. as you can see, I have like all these plants. I buy plants now. So I think my priorities have really shifted a lot internally, which has absolutely affected the business. On the business side, so for positively, COVID has it's been tough and dark at times, but I do feel it's been a positive transformation overall in my personal world, and of course that reflects my business as well. But we did lose a huge client, brick and mortar yoga chain. Mm-hmm. Early on, we lost a couple of clients because they're closing and.
Right.
It allowed us to pivot in a big way and in a way I was totally afraid to do. And that was step into leading my own courses, leading my own workshops, owning the strategy sessions. I was spending so much time on client work and zero time building our own business, which is typically what happens if you're in a coaching, role.
Yes.
And so I've had time because of that, to reflect on changes within the business, and we've gone ahead and made them. I've launched courses and just have taken a lot of new time. We've changed direction with projects. I think just really being willing to pivot. Everything is possible. If you're a business owner, like you can do anything really, go in any direction. And the more quiet I was able to get during this time, the louder my business got and really what she needed from me. So I feel aligned. It's been good. But, if you had talked to me 3 months ago, that was not the case.
Well, yeah, I can imagine.
Everything's temporary, let me just say, because, 3 months ago, if I had told that person that we'd be here and it would be okay, and I have launched the thing and done the thing and everything's okay, it always gets better. So,
Absolutely. So do you have, what are your plans for 2021? What are you looking to do?
That's a great question. I don't think anybody's asked me that. 2021, I would just like to keep going with the business exactly in this new way. I simplified things a lot. I got rid of a lot of noise, and now I just have like three main pillars of the business, and it's clear. I feel really clear. So I think I want to just keep doing this. 2021 looks like a lot of strategy calls. I love doing those calls. More courses, fun projects, and a lot of downtime. I'm liking reading and making time for my husband and walks and slowness. And maybe some travel. I don't know.
Yeah, let's hope so. Yeah,
yeah.
Nice. I know. I've missed it myself. Now it's always the way, isn't it? It's like when you can't do something, that's when you miss it.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I haven't really thought past 2020. It sort of feels like the end of the world or the beginning. I don't know if it's the end or the beginning, but it's hard to think past it. So I hope that I'm just still on this path of, the new direction feels really good. So I hope we stay on it.
I have a feeling you will. And I do think it's been such a good time because you're not the first person I've talked to who's experienced something like this. It really has been beneficial in giving a lot of people time to sort of step back and think. I mean, I've done a lot more working on myself personally as well, doing a lot of journaling and meditating and working with coaches and just getting myself aligned. In fact, working on even on my branding. And so it seems like we needed like this big pause button to sort of figure out what's really important and what do we want to do.
Yeah, I think it's so true. And I think technology has been such a beautiful part of that process. Like I was just thinking, I'm doing these three courses, which I would never be doing if it wasn't for COVID. I'm doing a creative writing workshop on Sundays. You know, like I would never have signed up for that before. I'm doing this thing on how to turn your home into your sacred sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And it's like feng shui and different plant and crystal work. And I would have never signed up for that. And so I think the time, just we have more time, no obligations, you know, to be in a million different places. And I am definitely a busy, extroverted, just like overcommitted person. And so it's just been kind of nice to not really have a choice.
Mm. Very good. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that we haven't covered that you think would be important for folks to know, you know, even not even necessarily launch related, but maybe even just business building in general, digital marketing, anything along those lines?
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest mindset shifts in business happened for me when I had this idea, and I do this with my clients now, is I tell them to separate themselves from their business. And this idea that you are not your business, you are you, and your business has an energy and a purpose and a vibe. It's like a living, breathing, evolving thing. And when you can shift your mindset to be in service to your business, the ego can sort of step out and you can step into this place of service, which as we all know is such a easy place to be because it's not about us. So I've had my clients do this process where they like talk to their business and we realize how many ways that we're actually standing in our own way. And it's not time, it's not money, it's nothing else than like our own stuff, our own internal demons that are blocking where we need to go. So this practice has been so helpful to me and my clients have just, I've seen such big transformations in their sales and numbers when they start to do this. And it's like, what does your business need you to do today? If it means answer a bunch of emails or edit a thing, it's like you're doing this in service to this bigger, amazing thing that you've birthed into the world. And that shift in mindset has been super powerful for me. So I like to share that. Because without that shift, I would just see things in my business so different. And we just get so attached our identity to our business, especially as a coach or healer. If you are, you know, in the voice and face of your business, it can feel confusing attaching our worth and whatever to the financial success. And it's just separate. And taking that space has just helped so much. So hopefully that might inspire others.
I like that because I'm thinking it's really about, you know, so often we talk about our business as our baby, but as a parent, you know, you could be the helicopter parent where you're, you know, micromanaging everything, or you can let your child, you know, make some mistakes and but keep trying, keep growing and trying new things, and eventually they spread their wings and go off on their own and they, you know, hopefully become awesome people. Like I'm blessed to have two grown kids now who are doing awesome things. So yeah, to be able to treat the business as not just the, you know, at the very, very beginning, maybe the first, you know, month, it's the baby, but it quickly becomes a toddler and you have to start letting it go.
I think that's such a cool analogy. I think I love that that's what you thought of when I shared that, because it's so true. And and also your business will speak to you. So if you just get quiet and listen or journal, like it's so obvious what I should be doing right now and what's preventing me from launching that next thing. I know exactly what it is and it's me. I think that when it feels in our business paralyzing or overwhelming, realizing there are three ways you can just get out of your own way right now and, you know, just let your business guide you is my advice. And yeah.
I love that. I think that is very good and definitely advice I'm going to take to heart, because I know I've been my business worst enemy a lot of the times.
Of us. So you're not alone. It's universal.
Well, good. If someone wants to find out about all these wonderful courses and things that you've got going on, what is the best way for someone to find you
Yeah, so my website is authenticaudience.co.co. Everything's there. So all my guides, courses, my podcast is there. Everything you can find there. And on Instagram, I'm Krista Ritma, all one word. And I post a lot and share a lot of content, behind the scenes stuff there.
Very good. Awesome. Well, I am so delighted to have you here. You really definitely shared some awesome gems. So I'm going to make sure that I get those and promote them what I'm promoting, because maybe not give it all away though. Yeah. I have to listen though, in order to get the gem. Okay. I'll figure out a better way to promote it. But I really do appreciate you being here and being my guest today. And yeah, so hopefully a lot of folks will have some better ideas now on how to approach a launch in their business.
Thank you for having me. Yes.
Yeah. And thank all of you out there listening and those of you watching on YouTube. I appreciate you. And if you have any questions or you want to find other episodes, you can go to liveloveengagepodcast.com and you'll be able to get all the older episodes there. And I'll also have all the information in the show notes. So until next time, I am Gloria Grace Brand, encouraging all of you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically.
One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to liveloveengage.com and request to join. That's liveloveengage.com.